All right, good evening, everybody. For 3 weeks now, we've been speaking on unity. How many of you believe that it's time for unity?
Amen.
Let's ask a question. What church do you originally come from? Yes. Catholic? The I don't know church. You?
From your church.
Originally.
Catholic.
Catholic. Okay, let me ask by the show of hands. Who of you originally come from NG background? There's a couple. Who of you originally come from a Baptist background? Nobody. Methodist? Catholic? Well, I'm just going to stop asking questions now. Roman Communist. That's the first time I've heard that one. We're so glad you got saved, eh? All right. All I'm trying to show is we come from different backgrounds. Even though we come from different backgrounds, we're called to be one. Amen? We're called to be one. And you know what's nice about this type of meeting? We've got people coming from different backgrounds that God's bringing us all together. And God's bringing a united front against the forces of darkness. Who of you know that the devil's busy? All right, last week I had Albert come forward and Albert gave us a demonstration that when you want to hit a knockout punch, you don't stand there like, doof. Is the guy going to fall? So what must you do? You must put everything in it. Do you want to come and show us? I can see you've clopped a couple of oaks in your time, eh? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you have to give him an uppercut. Okay, she says give him an uppercut. It's like, boom, you just hit him. Okay, or otherwise you hit him. But you got to use your whole body. Now, everybody that is in this room makes up a different part of the body. She could be the fist. She could be the arm. He could be the shoulder. She could be the hips. If everything works together and it's time to fight, then we pack power. Our punch has meaning. Can the pinky do anything on himself? No. And you see, that's what happens when we try and take on the forces of darkness that the enemy has sent against us, and we try and fight back, but we got no power backing us because we are not united. If there is something that the devil fears on this planet, it is the united body of Christ. Why? Because the united body of Christ can and will bring destruction to the forces of darkness. And do you know what the devil loves? Division. Separation. Alienation. Satan wants to push people apart. Why? Because when we are separated, when we are divided, we lack power. We try and fight him, he doesn't even feel a tickle. We think we're punching, the devil just smiles because we're tickling him. Is that the way to win the war? No, it's not. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, tonight I'm not speaking on unity because for 3 weeks we spoke about that and I think you get the idea. It's time for us to be one. It's time for us to be united. Before we spoke on unity, we were speaking on the foundations of spiritual warfare, and tonight I want to continue with that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do you notice in that scripture? Is there anything that you notice? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right, so now here's the thing. Probably when you read the Bible, you don't really focus on that, or you might really notice it, but there's a reason why heaven is given to us in plural. Earth is one. There's one earth. God created the heavens and the earth. There's one earth, but there's more than one heaven. You cannot use the word heavens for singular. The word heavens can only be used when there is two or three or four or five. But it cannot be used when there is only one. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right from the very beginning of the Bible, the heaven is always referred to as being in the plural. In other words, there is more than one. So, when you look up at the sky, what are you looking up at?
A
Well, we would say, oh, I'm looking at the sky, or I'm looking at the heaven. God says you are looking at the heavens. There's more than one up there. We see one, God sees more than one. The devil sees more than one. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Okay? I want you to listen to that carefully. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Touch the person next to you. That's flesh and blood. Is your struggle against the person next to you? Is your struggle against your mom? Is your struggle against your dad? Is your struggle against your teacher? Is your struggle against your mother-in-law? I'm so glad your wife is not here. I think if your wife was here tonight, you would be sleeping with a dog. And if your mother-in-law was here, you would have a clap right now. Okay. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. That's a biblical way of saying that the big war that's going on down here, even though it's people fighting people, it's the devil between the people that's causing the fighting. And if the people realize what's going on, they would stop fighting each other and fight the thing that wants them to keep fighting one another. So, scripture says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but, now, this is where the struggle is, against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Who's involved in this struggle? Raise your hand. Whether you like it or not, that's you. All of us are involved in the struggle. Every Christian is involved in the struggle. You cannot escape it. You can complain about it. You can moan about it. You can throw tantrums about it. It's not going to stop the struggle. It's just going to give the devil more power to work against you. What you should do is realize that we are in a war and equip yourself to start winning the war, which is exactly what God wants for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Rather, you should know what it's all about, where it takes place, so that you can be prepared to ensure that you will have victory. Now, one thing that is very clear when we read the scripture is that a large part of this battle takes place in what the Bible calls the heavenly realms, up there in the heavens. Now, the word heavenly, the Greek word for heavenly, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Greek word because it looks very difficult, but it has three different meanings when referring to the heavenly regions. Firstly, it can be the place where God and the angels dwell. Then it can be the lower heavens or the stars, and then it is the heavens of the clouds. In other words, that word, from a Greek perspective, has three different meanings. The place of God, the stars, and the lower heavens, the clouds. Okay. Thus, from this, we can see that there are at least, as far as we can ascertain, three different heavens. The first heaven of the clouds would be what? It's what we see. When you look out on a bright sunny day and you see the blue expanse and you see here and there a cloud in the sky, that's the first heavens. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing the first heavens. Then we find an intermediate or a lower heaven, which we might call then the second heaven. And the third heaven would be the place where God dwells, where his throne is, where the angels are very busy doing the bidding of God. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we find a very interesting passage of scripture. It says there, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. He was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that a man is not permitted to tell. Okay, now let's see how this starts. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Well, you see, there you have it. The Bible makes something very clear. I can't tell you how many heavens there really are, because God doesn't always reveal everything to us. But we know that from a biblical point of view, if there is a first heaven and there is a third heaven, there must also be a second heaven. So we know that there are at least the heaven 1, heaven 2, and heaven 3. The man that Paul is speaking about was probably none other than Paul himself, referring to an experience that he had 14 years ago. Paul is busy telling the people of a spiritual encounter or experience that he had where he was taken into what he referred to as the third heaven. Paul is not certain whether he had a vision or whether it was an actual experience, but he is quite sure that there was something that took place in the third heaven, and there he saw paradise. This only confirms to us the existence of three different heavens. So here's what I want to do now. Because we're talking about spiritual warfare, if we know that the first heaven is the heaven of the stars, in other words, this is what we can see, the clouds, the sky, all of that. We know the third heaven is where God dwells. Then there is one heaven that we don't know too much about, which is what? The second heaven. Let's take a closer look at this intermediate heaven or second heaven and whatever might be going on there. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Okay. Paul is busy speaking, and he speaks of when people were outside of Christ, in the before Christ days. He says, you were all dead in your transgressions and your sins in which you used to live. In other words, before you became a child of God. And he says, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Now, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, when Jesus Christ rescued believers from the dominion of darkness, where we all used to live. We used to live in the kingdom of darkness, and according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, Jesus delivered us from the dominion of darkness, where we all used to live. Therefore, the ruler of the kingdom of the air is none other than Satan himself. And it's interesting to note that his kingdom is described as being the kingdom of the power of the air. So where is Satan's kingdom? Yeah. It's somewhere up there. Yeah. It's somewhere up there. We don't know exactly where, because none of us know exactly where the second heaven is. But one thing we know, even though Satan fell from heaven, you know, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And even though he can come as far as the earth, his headquarters are somewhere up there in the heavenly regions. So somewhere between the place where God dwells, which we would then refer to as the third heaven, and the heaven above us, which is the first heaven, the stars and the clouds and everything that we see, there is this intermediate place where Satan and the fallen angels have their abode, where they stay. And from there, this is what they do. They strategize, they plan their attack upon believers, they resist us, they oppose the work of God, they oppose the work of the kingdom of God. And I want to say to you that the second heaven is a very, very, very busy place. Oh, Rion, how do you know that? Have you ever been there? No, I haven't been there, but I know that the devil is very busy. Does anybody in this place doubt that the devil is busy? Just look at what's happened in your life in the last couple of years, and then you know that the devil is busy. The devil is constantly planning. As Jesus said, the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What is Satan busy with right now? He's busy with some plan in my life. He wants to take from me. He wants to bring destruction to my life. Is he going to manage to do that? No. Why not? Because I will not allow him to do that. And by the grace of God, when I put my foot down, I can put my foot down in the power and the authority of Christ Jesus that conquered Satan on the cross. And I can deal with it. But I first have to realize that this is something that I need to do. And I need to know how to do it well, and I need to do it wisely. As Christians down here on earth, we are not always aware of everything that happens up there in the heavenly realms and behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. But according to the Bible, as I've already said, this is a very busy place. And let's look at an example from the Bible. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, Daniel is busy praying about Israel. And he is seeking God about the future. At that point in time, Israel is not in a good place. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of turmoil. They are being oppressed. And Daniel, being a man of God, is seeking God because he wants change. Is there any of you that wants your life to be better? How many of you have prayed about, Lord, please, I need a breakthrough. Lord, please, I need things to change. Lord, please, I need to go forward. I'm stuck in some pit. I'm being oppressed. Things don't want to happen for me. Just come away with me. Okay, now, in a way, you've all prayed to a certain extent the same way that David prayed, Daniel prayed. Daniel could see that Israel was stuck. He could see that Israel was being oppressed, and he was trusting God for a breakthrough, and he wanted to know what was going to happen. He was seeking God for answers. He wanted to know, what must we do? How must we do it? We've all prayed that way. He's praying about Israel. He's seeking God about their future. And then an angel from God suddenly comes to him and speaks to him. Daniel chapter 9, verse 21. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. Okay. Gabriel, the angel, came to him in swift flight. Where do you fly? So in other words, he saw the angel come down from the heavens and come to him. And the angel came to tell him something. Daniel 9, verse 23. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you. Okay. In this case, Gabriel came to Daniel while he was praying about the problem, and he brought him the answer, and there was no delay. In Daniel chapter 10, Daniel is once again busy praying. And once again, he's asking God for answers. He's trusting God for breakthrough. And this time, the angel doesn't come. The first day, the angel doesn't come. The second day, the angel doesn't come. The third day, the angel doesn't come. Now, I can tell you one thing about Daniel. Daniel was a man of faith. Can I tell you why? Because I know a lot of people, if it happened this way the first time and it doesn't happen the same way the second time, it's like, oh, this stuff doesn't work. Am I right or wrong? That's human nature. It's like, oh, but you know what? God answered my prayer the first time within 10 minutes, and now nothing has happened. So obviously, God's not going to come through for me. Daniel did not give up. Daniel was a man of faith, and Daniel believed in perseverance. Daniel would not give up. Daniel was a go-getter. Daniel was a man that believed that as long as he had faith in God and he did what God expected of him, at some point in time, things would happen for him. That is called faith. That is one of the problems that we have in this generation. People don't have faith anymore. If they've prayed for 1 or 2 days and nothing has happened, it's like, this stuff doesn't work. I'll go to Reiki, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. No, I'll do something stupid. Probably that's my answer. No. Even in biblical times, when people had amazing experiences, sometimes they had to persevere. Sometimes it took long. Now, Daniel is praying. First day, nothing happens. Second day, nothing happens. Third day, nothing happens. 10th day, nothing happens. It took 21 days of prayer and fasting before eventually there was a breakthrough in the supernatural. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Now the angel has come." He sees the angel is speaking to him. "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard." I want to say something about this. Notice what the angel says about Daniel. Daniel humbled himself before God. Daniel didn't scream at God. He didn't shout at God. He didn't provoke God. He didn't have a temper tantrum. Daniel was humble. What does the Bible say about humility? Humble yourself before God and He will lift you up. When we communicate with God, I want to say something to you. The way we communicate with God is very important. Always know who He is and always know who you are. He is God. You are not. He's the King. You are the servant. You are the subject. Daniel, when he spoke to God, he spoke with humility. You know what? Probably he could have felt by day 10, what's your problem? Don't you listen to me? Is that humble? No, it's not. That's arrogant. But Daniel remained humble. And the angel says that, "Daniel, do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God. Your words were heard. And I have come to you in a response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Okay, now you must take into account this is an angel of God busy speaking. And the angel of God says to him a couple of very interesting things. Let's look at that. Gabriel says that just like the first time when Daniel prayed, the angel was sent immediately. It's not that God was, you know, they weren't having a party up in heaven and it's like, oh, you know what, Daniel's got problems, but he must just get over himself because we're busy right now. No, he was dispatched, but there was a problem that there wasn't the previous time. This time, Satan had figured out that something was happening and he decided, I'm not going to let this happen. I'm going to do whatever I can to stop it. So Gabriel says he was sent immediately with the answer. Like the last time, yet this time, on his way down, remember the first time he saw the angel come down to him. The angel was on his way down when he met with resistance. Now let's look again. The third heaven is what? Is where God is. The first heaven is what? Where we are. The second heaven is what? Where Satan's kingdom is. So when the angel went from number three, coming to number one, he had to pass the territory of number two, which belongs to Satan. Suddenly there was something there that said, I'm not going to allow this, which was the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia cannot be a human prince. I want to ask you a question. Can a human being resist an angel? There's no way. An angel is a supernatural being. It is a spiritual being. You can't even see him. How are you going to resist him? If I was to say to you, Tony, there is an angel in this room. There is at least four angels in this room. Go resist him. Where are you going to go? Show me how you resist him. And even if he was standing right next to me right now, his spirit, what can I do to him? Nothing. I can't do nothing. So the prince of Persia was not a human prince, for no mere human could withstand an angel, but he was a satanic principality or angel that, according to God's angel Gabriel, ruled over the area of Persia. This combat took place happened somewhere between the third heaven where Gabriel came from and earth where Daniel was waiting, and the only place that leaves logically is the second heaven. And this must have been quite a fierce battle, because no angel of God is weak. No angel of God is useless. They are strong. They represent the kingdom of God. But now let's just talk about the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan is no pushover either when you look at it from this point of view, because the prince of Persia had the power to resist this angel for 21 days. In fact, the breakthrough did not come until a second angel got involved in the war, who was called Michael. And when Michael got involved with Gabriel, resisting, fighting against the forces of darkness, resisting him, that's when the breakthrough came, and eventually he came through. Daniel could not have been aware of this. What did Daniel's prayer do? Look at your neighbor and say, it started a war. Okay, maybe we don't always look at it from that point of view, but Daniel, because of what he was praying, how he was praying, and most definitely because what he was praying was in line with something God wanted to do down here, it started a war. Now, in the New Testament, we are told that who is the God of this world? Satan. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, if the gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds that they cannot accept the gospel of Christ. Who's the one that blinds the minds of people that they cannot accept the gospel? Satan. So who's the God of this world? Satan. Okay, now, there's a lot of things happening down here in the world that is exactly what Satan wants. But God also has things that he wants to happen down here. And God needs men and women of faith that are willing to pray and willing to stand for what is right, so that because of them, God can interfere. Satan took the world from Adam and Eve. The first session that we looked at this, I showed you that God initially gave Adam dominion over everything, including the earth. But Adam went and gave that to Satan through disobedience. So now Satan, he's calling the shots to some extent down here. That doesn't mean that God's not involved. That doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do wonderful things. But because of who's down here and who has power, human beings now need to get involved. How do you change your area? Through prayer. And while we pray down here, a war will probably take place up there. Because Satan doesn't want things to change. Does Satan want more or less prostitution? Does Satan want more or less drug abuse?
More.
Does Satan want more or less crime and corruption?
More.
What does God want?
Less.
Much less. Who's involved here? Look at your neighbor and say, you are.
We are.
We are. You know why? Because the angels of God can't just come down here and start messing around and clopping the demons around and all that. Because the demons have power down here. The demons have place down here. The demons have authority down here. But when we pray, that allows them to come. When we pray, when we stand in prayer for our region, for our area, for our country, for our schools, then because on the basis of our prayer, the angels have the right to come from the third heaven, through the second heaven, into this area and bring about change. On their own, they're not allowed to do that. But because of us, they can. Do you understand that? That's why Satan doesn't like us to pray. That's why when you can watch TV till 12 o'clock at night, you pray for 10 minutes and you fall asleep. Because when you watch TV, you don't interfere with the devil. When you pray, you start interfering and the spirit of slumber comes. Ooh, your eyes are getting heavy. Come on, that's just how it works. When we pray, how many of you have noticed? Sometimes when you start praying, suddenly all hell breaks loose. Why? Something doesn't want you to pray. Should you stop? No. Probably you should pray a bit longer. Probably you should pray a bit harder. Because that's where the breakthrough comes. Because when we pray, Satan's not stupid. Listen, yeah. The Bible shows us what happened when Daniel prayed. The devil knows what happens when people pray. There's been many times when the devil thought, oh, I've won the battle. And then because of the prayer of one or two righteous men, like that, boom. God just took the rug from under him and he lost. So does he like it when we pray?
No.
It freaks him out. He doesn't like it at all. And he'll do whatever he can to bring about a change. He wants us to stop. So Daniel could not have been aware that his prayer had started such a big battle in the heavens. And we gained some valuable insight into the realm of the spirit through this passage. Satan's forces lay claim to different regions and they are ready to fight to defend their regions. Okay. What I'm trying to say to you is that when this angel came down, at that point in time, Israel were in Babylon, which was in the area of Persia. And the prince of Persia, if you want, was a spirit that had assumed the crown, the authority, the power in the region of Persia. He was the ruler. And whatever happened down there had to come through him. That's why when Daniel was busy praying and an angel was sent or dispatched by God to come and bring about change, that spirit said, I don't want change in my area. I like it the way it is. I want the Israelites to be oppressed. I want them to be slaves. I want them to be discouraged and stressed and upset and, you know, frustrated, whatever the case might be. That's the way I like it. But because of the prayer of this one man, things changed. Now, getting back to spirits. Spirits, ruling spirits, are found over certain geographical areas. Let me make it easy for you. In the northern hemisphere, there will be a spirit that is in charge of the northern hemisphere. There will be another spirit in charge of the southern hemisphere. There will be a spirit in charge of every country. There will be a spirit in charge of every continent, etc., etc., etc. If you look at Gauteng, there will be some spirit in charge there. If we as a church start praying and we start making big inroads into what the spirit is doing down here, he's going to look down and say, I don't like what's happening there. Probably I need to cause a bit of problems. Do you understand? Does that mean that God is not involved?
No.
For sure God is involved, because the only reason Daniel received the breakthrough was because an angel was dispatched by God to come and help. But you see, it's not just the angels that give the breakthrough. It's what we do down here. Daniel had to do a couple of things. He had to first remain committed. He had to remain strong in his faith. He had to remain faithful. He had to persevere, even though it was difficult. Do you understand? Now, have things changed that much that today it's completely different? You see, these things are in the Bible to show us how God works, how the kingdom of God works, how the kingdom of Satan works. And you see, what was good for Daniel is probably good for you, is probably good for you, is probably good for me. Sometimes we're going to go through difficult times. What must we do? Persevere. Sometimes we're going to go through hectic times. What must we do? We must pray. We must trust God that the breakthrough is going to come. Because while we remain strong, we also give power to the angels of God up there. Your faith fuels the fire up there. Your lack of faith quenches the fire up there. Do you understand? Okay. In Ezekiel chapter 28, we read about Tyrus. And it would seem that it had two different rulers, the prince of Tyrus and the king of Tyrus. And we saw in the previous study that the king of Tyrus could not have been an earthly ruler. You'll remember in the first teaching that we had on this, the scripture says God spoke to the prophet and he said, take up a lament against the king of Tyre. And when we looked at what God spoke to the prophet about him, God spoke about him being in the Garden of Eden, about him being on the mountain of God, about him being in amongst the stones of God, etc., etc. A human person cannot be there. And the biggest argument for that is there was only three people in the Garden of Eden: Adam, Eve, and the serpent. Who was the king of Tyre at that point in time? Satan. The serpent himself. Because that was the hub of the universe at that point in time, that area. All right, so now, Tyrus had an earthly ruler called the Prince of Tyrus. But if you look at the Bible, he was just a pawn, and the strings were being pulled by the King of Tyre, which was a spiritual being that was controlling that region and controlling that area. Now let's ask the question, has that changed? No. Again, over certain geographical areas, you will have a ruler, and then you will have something sitting above that ruler trying to pull the strings to control the area. Let's talk about South Africa. South Africa has a ruler. What his name is immaterial. You all know him. Let's ask the question. Who's pulling the strings? Well, at this point in time, I would be very surprised if God is pulling the strings if we look at what's going on in this country. But does that mean God can't be involved? No. Do you know how we get God involved? We have to pray. Our prayers will cause the fire of God to go into the second heaven. And when the fire of God goes into the second heaven, things will begin to change. Our greatest resistance will be coming from the heavenly ruler over our geographical area that is trying to enforce Satan's plan on us, on our region, on what's happening in this area that we live in. And Satan will use that to try and oppose the work that we do for the kingdom of God. And not just for the kingdom of God. The Bible says the thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You have a company, right? Do you think the Hoho up there wants you to be successful? Who will he give praise and glory when he's successful? He's going to give praise and glory to God. But what will sometimes happen? I'm not going to say this will happen in your case, but what happens to people when things just keep going wrong? Who do we blame? People blame God. You see, the fact is, it's not God that's causing the problem. It's the Hoho up there. But the Hoho up there, he doesn't want you to testify. He doesn't want you to praise God. He doesn't want you to worship God. He wants you to be angry, upset, and frustrated with God. Because that way you go nowhere. So from up there, many times, not just in our spiritual life, but sometimes also in the physical work that we do, we will start getting opposition. What must we do?
You must pray.
Put your foot down. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
and things will begin to change. I want to share with you something that happened. I've shared this once or twice before, many years ago. I was phoned by a school. The school is in the Gauteng district. I'm not going to say exactly which school it is. The school was encountering a lot of problems, extreme rebellion from the pupils in the school. Lots and lots and lots of fighting in the school. They were completely disregarding the teachers. They did not respect the authority of the teachers. There was anarchy in the school. There was absolute chaos in the school. And there was a lot of satanic involvement in the school. They found signs of Satanism. Animals were sacrificed. There was pentagrams all over the place. And the guy that was in charge of the spiritual development in the school, in Afrikaans, Salos and Numi CSV, I don't know, the Christian club probably, of the school, understood enough to know that there's a problem in this school and it's not going to be solved by just punishing the children. Something else needs to happen. He phoned me, spoke to me about it. He said, can I please come to the school because he believes that the school is in danger. And from what I could hear, there was big problems. I agreed to come there. He introduced me to the principal. The principal was a bit of a cocky guy because I could see that the principal wasn't really very interested in what I had to say. But because the principal had come to a place where even he had lost control of the school, he had no choice, he had to listen. And the more I spoke, the more the principal seemed to be seeing the light. And the principal agreed. He said, it's right, I will have an assembly and I'm going to have you speak to my children. Which is exactly what I did. And I want to tell you something. I had never seen such a bunch of hooligans together in my life. They did not listen to anybody. Everybody in that hall did whatever they wanted. And I sat there and I thought to myself, Lord, I have no idea how I'm going to speak to these kids because nobody cares. The poor teacher that had to introduce me was standing there and these kids were just, this one was talking to that one was shouting at that one, this one was running around, that one was throwing that one with something. There was just chaos. I took a bunch of the teachers and I there by the stage and I said to them, let's take hands and let's pray right now. I stood there and I said, I take authority over the spirit that is working over the school right now. You will acknowledge that God sent me and you will get under my feet now. When I put my foot down, electricity went through that entire place. My hair stood up. Two of the teachers, they just wanted to run away because they began to feel. It felt like there was this whirlwind that came around us. Suddenly it was quiet. Suddenly the hall went quiet. I went, I stood behind the pulpit, I introduced myself. You could hear a pin drop. I spoke to those kids. I did an altar call. 90% of them responded. It was like a night and day difference. Do you know that that school changed completely after I went there? Amen. Come on, somebody give the Lord a big hand, please. But this is what had to happen. The chocho up there needed to be put in his place. Okay, at that point in time, I went there, but I'm called to do this. I want to say something now. Don't go to your child's school and challenge the chocho up there and tell him to get under your feet and whatever, because he will hit back. It is the purpose of the body of Christ. Jesus said the following. When he spoke to Peter, he said, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Who is called to put the chocho up there in his place? The body of Christ, the church. Raise your hands if you're part of the church. Right. So when we all stand together, we can hit that thing a knockout blow. When you go alone, or you go alone, or you go alone, you're going to get hurt. And I want to teach you that very quickly. A couple of years ago, I was preaching in the Vaal Triangle district. And there was these three ladies that kept coming to my meetings. And all I can say is I had a suspicion that they had a bit of a religious spirit because they were know-it-alls. They were like, you know, you could hardly ever teach them anything. I'm not trying to judge them. I'm just saying how I felt. And even though they seemed to always know everything, they always seemed to have the biggest problems when I started praying for people, you know. And the one day, I had been teaching on something, and this one woman came forward and she said to me, oh, you know what, you must pray for me because, you know what, I've got this and this and this and this problem and what. I listened to this and a word came into my heart. And I said to the woman, I said, ma'am, I want to ask you a question. Did you ever challenge the principalities and the powers over this region? She said, yes, I do it all the time. I said, what? She said, oh no, my pastor tells us we have to do this all the time. I said, ma'am, just stop the bus. I need to talk to you. I said to her, do you realize that every time you challenge one of these things, they will accept the challenge and now the fight is on? But the thing that you're trying to fight is invisible. You can't see him. So you don't know what he's busy doing. She had enormous health problems. You name it, that was wrong with her. All three of them. They were in the same church under the same pastor telling them all the time, fight the things, fight the things, fight the things. Oh my goodness, what an idiot. Because these people, their lives were falling apart. So much for all this knowledge that they apparently had. They didn't know how to apply it. I said to them, ladies, with all due respect to you and your pastor, you've messed up big time. Because you've challenged things that have a lot more power than you in the natural. You've challenged them to fight and they've come to fight. And there's only one way for you to deal with this. You got to say sorry to God and ask God to take you off the battlefield. Ooh, and now they were panicking because for the first time they realized that they had actually overstepped their boundaries and they'd caused big problems. I led them in a prayer, all three of them. As they were praying a prayer with me, I hadn't even started rebuking, no demons or nothing. The same spirit started screaming through all three of them. They were being tormented by the same spirit. Probably not just one, probably quite a few. I spent a bit of time casting these things out of them. But it came because they provoked and they challenged the spirits over their area. And you know what? A lot of people, through stupidity, do the same thing. I've heard of midnight prayers. I just want to put this... You can now. Let me just say something. I've heard of certain churches where they get together at midnight and they challenge the principalities and the powers and they curse this and they do this and they do that. And I want to tell you something. Their lives fall apart. It is not your call to go and mess with the stuff up there. You have all right. You have all authority to come against any spirit that's messing with you right now. You have to take authority over him. You have to put him under your feet. You have to deal with him. But you can't go out there calling all pockets. Hey, every demon up there, I rebuke you. I curse you. I damn you. I call fire on you. Because every single one of them takes it as a challenge and they will come for you. And they don't have to come today. They don't have to come tomorrow. They'll come when you least expect it. You've laid down the gauntlet. You've taken the proverbial glove and slapped him through the face. Now he's going to come for you. At the right time, the fight is on. You want to say something? Come say it in the mic, please.
I used to go to a church that the pastor used to teach us how to challenge demons and spirits and principalities, like the water spirits and the mountain spirits and the evening spirits and the morning spirits. You just name it. I did it, and a few people here in this, they did it with me. And if I tell you that my life went through hell because of that, I don't know that I was challenging something that it was much bigger than me, but it brought a lot of misery in my life and in my family's life. Today, I see things in a different way, but it was a wake-up call for me.
Amen. Okay, so here's the thing. There are spirits up there. Over every area, there are spirits, and these spirits, their purpose is to further Satan's cause down here. And sometimes in our call as children of God or in what we call to do down here, sometimes we'll come up against them. They are the reason why sometimes there's no breakthrough in an area. They are the reason why sometimes there's a lot of crime or a lot of prostitution, why churches are impotent, there's no power. They're involved. Our greatest resistance will be coming from the heavenly ruler over our geographical area that tries to force Satan's plans on us and oppose us in our work. Now, how do we conquer that thing? There's only one way. We have to pray. And yes, we have to wage war against them, but not alone. Listen to me carefully. not alone. I want to put it to you this way. Many years ago, a church in an area in the Free State, they phoned me up. They say, please, can I come and do some meetings there? I say, yes, fine. While I'm there, one of the pastors comes to me. He says to me, we are convinced that one of the strong men and principalities controlling the Free State is over our area. We want you to sort him out. I looked at the guy. I said, I didn't put it this way, but it was like, you must be crazy. I said, why you want me to sort it out? Oh, no, because it's your call. I say, it might be my call, but this is your area. This is not my place to come and sort this out. I said, if I sort it out, but you don't deal with the rubbish that's going on, yeah, nothing is going to change. I said to him, this is what needs to happen, yeah. First, the churches in this area need to stand together, because I knew that the churches in that area couldn't stand one another. How do you hit the devil and knock out blow up there if this church doesn't agree with that church, can't sit together with this church, won't communicate with that church? That's exactly what the devil wants. The first thing that needs to happen is the pastors need to start working together. And you know what? It's not about this one taking that one's flock or that one preaching better than that one. It's about networking, standing together, and being a united front against whatever is up there causing all the problems. And then together, we come in prayer and we start praying against what the enemy is busy doing. And then we will begin to see the changes that God wants to bring into that area. The biggest mistake you make is when you go and like, I know that, let's just say, sexual immorality, you are working in this area. I rebuke you and I command you to go. Guy phoned me about a year ago. He says to me, can I please pray for him? I say, okay, what's the story? He says, now he's being tormented by a sexually immoral spirit. I say, how do you know you're being tormented by this thing? No, because this thing comes and messes with him at night, and all sorts of really strange and bad sexual experiences happen to him all the time. And I'm listening to that, I'm thinking, that's really bad stuff. Yeah, okay, you got a big problem. And then he starts talking to me about spiritual warfare. He's trying to impress upon me that he knows a lot about spiritual warfare. And I'm listening to that, and the first thought that comes to me is, if you know so much, why don't you deal with your problem? In other words, you can't know as much as you think you do. The second thing that comes to me is, this man challenged the spirits. I said to him, sir, I understand that you've got a lot of information pertaining to spiritual warfare, but I want to ask you a question. Did you ever challenge the spirits of immorality over the area where you stay? Oh, yes, he did. He says, and come to think of it, all my problems started after that. I said, that's right. Your problems did start after that, because you went out there, you put yourself in a place where God never wanted you to be. You challenge these things. What do? They promote sexual immorality. What started happening to him? All sorts of sexual immoral things began to happen to him. Why? Because he challenged something that in himself alone, he didn't have the power to stand against. So the devil just wiped the floor with him. I said to him, this is what you do. You go on your knees and you repent before God. You say sorry because you did something God never called you to do. You did what the church is called to do. You're not the church. You're an individual. If you can't get the people around you in your area to stand with you, if you can't get the churches to share your vision, you got no plan, you got no purpose and no right to go and stand against these things. I cannot tell you how many people I've had to pray for over the years that have done the same thing. They went and challenged things that God doesn't want you to challenge. And they pay a big, big price for that. And I want to say something to you. You get tired, the demons don't. They're going to keep coming for you, keep coming for you, keep coming for you. And eventually they will tire you out. Eventually they will come a time when they will wipe the floor with you if you don't stop it. When it comes to spiritual warfare, one thing we must be careful of, when we see the power of God work, I want to put it to you this way. Let's say you come to one of our meetings, you see demons manifest, we tell it in the name of Jesus, come out and things happen. It looks easy, doesn't it, sometimes? Come on, have you ever seen it happen and you think, oh, that was painless, quick and painless? Have you? Okay, let me tell you something. I've been walking this road for 17 years. When I started, it wasn't like that. When I started, it would take me sometimes 3, 4, 5 hours to deal with one demon. It took me a long time. And it took a lot of hard work, diligence, faith, commitment, dedication, studying the word, being obedient to God to eventually grow and grow and grow to get to the place where I am right now. And I'm not trying to say I'm anything big or anything special. I'm just blessed that God has given me more authority and more power, and things happen a lot quicker. But if you think that you're going to point your finger at that demon and tell him to go and the same thing will happen for you, I'm sorry, but it doesn't, because authority comes with time. Anointing builds up over time. And sometimes what happens is people come to a meeting such as this or somewhere else, or you see a video on YouTube and it's like, oh, this looks easy. You go and you challenge some demon. Next thing, all hell breaks loose. Because you can challenge something that you're not equipped to deal with. And when he hits back, he'll wipe the floor with you. I actually saw a video on YouTube a couple of years ago. There was this pastor in Nigeria that used to watch the videos of other pastors casting out demons and dealing with demons and all sorts of stuff. And so he decided that he's going to do it as well. The one day he just called all his people forward, all of you come and stand in a row, and I rebuke this demon and I rebuke. And the next moment, he got paralyzed. I'm not lying to you. He fell down there and he was paralyzed. Of course, his whole church freaked out. Everybody ran away because nobody knew what was going on. And they had to call another pastor in the area that understood and knew how to deal with these things. And when he listened to what happened, he realized what had happened. This guy had put himself in a place where he started challenging the spirits over the area, but he had no authority, he had no anointing to work in that area, and the devil hit back. And only after this pastor prayed for him was he released, that could he start walking again. Can I tell you what? He learned his lesson. Big time. And he actually, later in the video, in the YouTube clip, I can't remember what it was called, he actually sits there and he confesses that in stupidity and in ignorance, he did something that he didn't realize at the time he was messing up badly. And he wants to say sorry. And then he actually says, he wants to say to people, don't take this stuff lightly. Because you know what? When you watch somebody else do it that's walked a long road, sometimes it looks easy. It's not. It comes with time. And do not overstep your boundary, because you will pay. Let's just see. Daniel chapter 11 verse 1. This is the angel speaking to Daniel. He says, "And in the first year of Darius the Mede, I took my stand to support and to protect him." This is Gabriel speaking. Now listen to this. The angel Gabriel, speaking of Darius the Mede, who was a ruler of that time, the angel says, God sent me to support this man and to protect this man. Do you know why? Because this man was sympathetic to Israel's cause. God allowed an angel to work with that man to take care of his people. It's not just demons that touch rulers, it's angels as well. When we pray. We have a ruler in this country that I don't think he really believes much. I think sometimes, let's just put it out there, he's an idiot. But does that mean that God can't touch him? No, God can touch anybody. Probably what we need to do is pray for him. What do you say, Tony? You've done stranger things in your life, haven't you? So how's about not pray for him? That's what we should do. We should pray for him. We should pray for, the Bible says we must pray for our rulers. Why? Because the more we pray for them, the more power the angels that God wants to be involved in their life can influence them. I don't care who you are. When enough people pray for you, the power of God will begin to touch you. I'm not saying it'll happen overnight, but I'm telling you something will begin to change if we pray. Darius the Mede was sympathetic to Israel and to God, declaring that his whole country should fear and reverence the God of Daniel. You find that in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verse 28. God was working behind the scenes in the life of this earthly ruler, and Gabriel was assigned to support and protect him. Who was he protecting him from? The satanic powers working in that area that wanted him to crush the Israelites. The biggest threat to Darius would have been the satanic principalities and powers in the heavenly realm that were trying to get him, to influence him to turn against Israel. Satan had a very organized and highly effective kingdom that does his bidding and implements his plans. We find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. This is how Satan's kingdom works. Satan is on top. Under Satan, there are some, let's call them generals. That is like over the northern and the southern hemisphere, over the north, the south, the east, the west, whatever you want to call it. Under them, there's a bunch of rulers. Under them, there's a bunch of principalities. And eventually, we come down here to the foot soldiers, which is the demons that we tend to cast out of people. But those demons have to take orders from somebody. Where do they get their orders? Up there. And if you really want to see a breakthrough, the breakthrough doesn't come with casting out the demons. It comes from getting that ruler up there to get thrown out of his throne. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Principalities and powers can still fall. When do they fall? When the church unites and starts pushing them out. Can we do it?
Yes,
yes we can. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 shows us that we are not alone. We have help. Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? What is the purpose of angels? To help those that belong to God that have inherited salvation. There are angels in your life. You can't see them, but they're there. There are angels in your life. You can't see them, but they're there.
Amen.
There are angels in my life. You can't see them, but they're there. And you know what? The more we come in line with what God wants for our life, the more we pray, the more we grow in faith, the more power the angels also have to be involved in our life. Do we need angels? Yes, we do. Why? Because there's a war going on. And we can't win that war on our own. We need help. Just like Daniel needed help. Psalm 103 verse 20 says, praise the Lord, you his angels, you his mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. You can't tell an angel what to do. God is the one that tells them what to do. But the more you come in line with God's plan for your life, the more you come in line with God's bidding for your life, the more they will be involved in your life. Angels are not going to do much if you are in rebellion to God. But the closer you come to walking that road that God wants you to walk, the more they're going to start pushing you forward. The more they'll help to clean and prepare the way for you. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to say much more because I think I've already gone over my time, but I want to say this. There is a war down here on earth, and there is a war going up in the heavens right now. How do we win the war in the heavens? By standing together, by praying together, by uniting in our walk with God over what we know is working in our lives and in our area. Not by doing it alone, not by being stupid, not by challenging things out there, but by standing together in prayer. We should be praying for one another. Amen? We should be praying for our government. We should be praying for God to bring change in our schools, in our youth, with our people. Do you think you can do that?
Yes.
Then you can do spiritual warfare. It's not all about challenging this and challenging that. It's about praying. And Daniel did not challenge anything. He prayed to God. But through his prayer, he had victory. Sometimes we are too quick to want to challenge things and we don't really want to pray. You should pray. It's not about challenging this and challenging that. It's about coming before God, praying to God, standing in faith with God for your area. And in that process, you will get victory. Amen?
Amen.
Did anybody learn something tonight?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I've heard about all of these things. Do you want my honest opinion? I don't believe in that stuff. I honestly don't. There's a lot of people saying that the world is going to come to an end because this and that and that and that. The scripture says Jesus doesn't even know when these things are going to happen. The enemy propagates fear in this way. You know what? Every now and then we go through a season where people take things out of context from the Bible, put this and this and this together, and it creates fear, it creates panic, it creates pandemonium. God is not in that. I give no attention to any of that type of stuff. I'm sorry, but you know what? Here's my take on it. Live your life to the full. Live it for God. Live it right. And if tomorrow the rapture comes, cheers, guys, I'm not here anymore.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, the world can't come to an end right now. God's still got things to do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. You know what? So what? The Bible says that too. The word tells us that these things are going to come in the end of the days. But you know, unfortunately, a lot of people will try and use this to bring about fear and hysteria and all of that. It's not from God. Say again? Nostradamus. Do you want my honest opinion? He had a lot of demons. Yes, he did. Say again? Well, that remains to be seen. Do you know that Nostradamus was involved in a lot of really funny things, esoteric things? Yes, he was. Yeah. Yeah. Say again? Yeah. No, but I agree. You know what? What this guy said, he wasn't the prophet of God. He was into divination, into necromancy, and all of that type of stuff. The source of the things that he prophesied was not God. It was satanic. So the more weight you give to that, the more faith you put in that, the more power you give Satan. Yeah. All right. If we're done, then guys, if you can help us with... cheers, thank you.